Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, June 25th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The message today is Baptized by Water and Spirit. The New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11.
Amen. So I'm hoping that in maybe an hour, I'm heading to summer camp. One of my joys of serving as your pastor here is that we share a connection to Westminster Woods. I was on summer staff back in 1991 with David Lawson, Tom Stewart, and Amy Breitler, now Stewart. And this year I realized I will be up at camp and all of our kids will be at camp together. Along with other middle schoolers and other grandchildren who are from here. The Levin girls are there, serving on staff all summer long. Laura told me her girls have been there every single summer since second grade. It's a spiritual home, I think, for many young people and many people in this congregation. And I am excited to go, but I'll let you in on I'm actually feeling a little anxious, too. I'm kind of worried and anxious about my role. I've been there I've been there on staff, and I've been like the program director. This is the first time I'm going to be a camp speaker. It's hard enough for me to come up with one sermon every 7 days, and now I'm supposed to have something every single night for elevation school, for the middle school elevation camp. So that's one anxiety. But two, then I started to think, camp's really exciting. There's a swimming pool. There's a ropes course where you're hanging from ropes and carabiners and learning how to balance and jump for trapezes. And then there are those super fun, you know, college counselors. And so then, having the 45-year-old woman stand up and talk at you for 15 minutes does not seem like a good setup. But three, I think there's this part of me that has channeled my inner middle school girl and going, will they like me? Am I going to be good enough? Or, like, maybe these bunch of 6th to 9th graders aren't going to like anything I have to say. Because speaking with middle school, and where I was, we called it junior high school. Some of you did middle school, some of you did. It's that same time of life, but it makes me remember the times when I was that age, and it was awkward. If I had my choice to go back in time and relive some of my earlier years, I would have maybe some time, you know, swings and being with my friends. Maybe it would be chatting late into the night with my high school friends. It would not be the 6th, 7th, 8th grade years. It was a time of deep disorientation and social confusion for me, and lots of judgment going on. So, like, there was the girl who was in my group of friends, and I thought we were good buds, and the next day she calls me a baby and stomps off and doesn't talk to me for a month. And then there's the rejection of the boy, the really cute boy, and we were friends and neighbors, and I crushed on him for 3 years, and he never, right, it not happening on his end. And he never returned my affection. And it hurt. And then there's the struggle to figure out what to wear and trying to understand what made Guess jeans so much more fashionable than the Cherokees that my mom kept bringing home. So you can tell, I was not the popular crowd queen bee alpha on the social scene. And then there's all the junior high, you know, body image stuff. Like, I had really bad acne with, like, those white heads, the ones that you can see, like, across the room, right? And feathered bangs were really in when I was in middle school, you know, and My Asian thick black hair was never going to do that layered thing, no matter how long I stood in front of the mirror. I had glasses. I had braces. I had the elastics in the braces where they put like a rubber band. So one time I had one that went from like here to here. And for me, makeup was hard and confusing, and then it would like run down my face. I'm not sure it made me look better. And I look back and I kind of go, I was awkward, but in some ways I had it easy. Like, my parents were together. We didn't do a big move. There wasn't some big trauma in my past. You know, I did not get taken out in the back and get, you know, beaten up. But even without those kind of harsh experiences, just the regular experience of being in middle school, there were those days where I just knew and was convinced that I was the most awkward, the most unattractive, the least popular person on the entire planet. Wasn't that obvious? So maybe your middle schools were better than mine. Were they? No. maybe they were worse. It can get worse than this. But that feeling of feeling unpopular, unwanted, unlovable, worthless, I've realized that maybe you start to pay attention to that in junior high, but it doesn't really end there. In fact, I think all of us struggle with that at some point in time or another. Henry Nouwen has called this the sin of self-rejection. Sometimes we think of sins of, oh, we're lying and we're not honoring our mother and father, and there's a good moral checklist of not drinking too much and not cursing. But Henry Nouwen is pointing to a different kind of sin, one that's not so moral and behavior, but one that's about where is our core identity. He writes this in his book, Life of the Beloved. Over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. Success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way that they are part of a much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we have come to believe in those voices that call us worthless and unlovable, then chasing after success and popularity and power are perceived as easy and attractive solutions. The real trap, however, he writes, is self-rejection. That as soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I'm rejected, left alone, abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again, I'm nobody. And that dark side says, I'm no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. He goes on to say this: self-rejection is the enemy of the spiritual life. In fact, self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us beloved. Being the beloved constitute the core truth of our existence. That's the truth of our lives. That's the truth I want you to claim for yourself. That's the truth spoken by the voice that says, you are my beloved. It's the voice that came out of the heavens at the baptism of Jesus in this text from Mark. I picked this Mark text because I need to speak on this text next week. So I figured I'd get my sermon to do double duty. You can have it here and I'll do it up there. But re-identifying with how it feels to be perhaps a middle schooler, feeling beloved sounds like not a bad thing to be talking about. The theme for summer camp is the waters of life. So we'll look at the waters of creation and the waters of baptism. We'll do Psalm 23, I lead you beside still waters. We'll do the woman at the well and being connected and knowing the blessing that God has given us in water. And so early in the week, we will look at baptism. Next week, we're baptizing Kellen's little baby. Kellen and Daniel's little baby, her little girl. And in that sacrament of baptism, where we sprinkle water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we use it as a sign of God's love for that child and being included in the family of God. Lena doesn't have to do anything to be beloved in God's eyes. I know some of you might come out of a Baptist tradition, and in the more Baptist tradition, you have to be able to stand up and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior before you get baptized. But in the Reformed Presbyterian tradition, we will baptize infants because we believe at the core that the child is loved and beloved before a child can even speak her own name or know Jesus' name. That the claiming and the belongingness is there from the beginning. And baptism is always done in community because it's the community that welcomes and gives acceptance to the child. And so next week, I'll walk little baby Lena, who I think is about 4 months now, 5 months maybe, here and introduce her to you as a child of the covenant. And we'll look at her and we'll lean into her like, look, there's this tiny, precious miracle of a child. She's loved. But then I got to thinking, those middle schoolers, they were infants once too. And I'm guessing, actually, some of those infants were baptized in the sanctuary. I didn't look that up in the records, but, right? They're children of this church. And at that time, and you baptized them, and you said, they are God's beloved. And we looked at them with those eyes of wonder and claimed them as a child of the covenant. So even in those awkward middle school years, they don't lose that core claim and identity. They may be pretty out of touch with it. It may feel like it's lost, but God has not lost them. Because God's claim on a life can't be lost or misplaced or dissolved. They are beloved from the beginning, and they are beloved now. And perhaps, through my talking voice, reading the Bible, and the prayers, they might get in touch with this core identity. But perhaps not. I think it takes a bit more than that. It takes the love that they're shown from the community to help that become reality. I think that's the gift of summer camp, because it's in a community of belonging and love and connection that perhaps young people can come to trust that really they are loved and accepted for who they are. And that a community can give to us the gift of belovedness when we can't see it in ourselves. I trust that that can happen for young people this summer in camp in just the same ways, you know, and different ways than it did 20 years ago. Because I've seen it in action with little second, third graders who go to adventure camp and fourth, fifth, and sixth graders who run around with pointy felt hats. with middle schoolers, but perhaps most often at friendship camp. Westminster Woods during the summer season has a long tradition of offering 1 week of camp for adults with developmental disabilities. These adults, some of them have been coming to camp for 30 years as campers. They might have adult bodies, but come with the intellect of a 7-year-old. And the staff treats them with respect and love and welcome, helps them to have fun and jump in the swimming pool, teaches them how to shoot bows and arrows, and sing Kumbaya and Jesus Loves Me 10 times a day for 5 days. Why? Because these human beings are beloved. And it's a chance to show them that and live them that. And in loving this group of friendship campers, I've seen the college-age staff start to believe they're beloved too, when they can see that level of acceptance and offer that level of acceptance. So those awkward middle schoolers, they're beloved. Those campers with developmental disabilities, they're beloved. We'll see it in an infant baptism, beloved child of God. But dare we believe and repent of our sins of self-rejection to be able to claim that you are beloved and that I am beloved, and to live in our identity as claimed and loved by God. For that is at our core who we are. Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise if you feel comfortable and sing and remember of how we are claimed in the waters of baptism, and especially who we are claimed by. Be seated. This part of our worship is subtitled Responding to God's Call. God loves us. We are the beloved. We are loved unconditionally. And God offers us the free will to accept that and to be changed by it. And so this latter part of our service is not, we don't do this because that's how we earn that love. This is our opportunity to respond to the love that we've already been given. And so it's a choice. It's a choice to make an offering. It's a choice to offer up a prayer. But it's a choice that, because it's already been framed as the blessing has already been given. And so if you choose, now would be the time to share forth those blessings with others.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.